This is our last series, last sermon in the series about us as a church. In the last 2 weeks, we have been sharing, Pastor Jabin 2 weeks ago, me last week, about who we are as a part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are a part of a church that is both local, us gathered here together, but it is also global as well. We are connected with everyone who calls Jesus their Savior and Lord. And the weeks prior to this series, we talked about how understanding our identity in Christ will help us now to understand what our role is as a part of His church and our role in the kingdom of God. And over the last couple, or last week, we talked about several great truths from 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 that we can apply to us understanding who we are as His church. And that is that we are different, but God has brought us together for a task and a purpose, and we are united by His love. We also understand that everything we do must be motivated by love. We can have great programs, great ministries, great activities, great things taking place, but if there's no love, 1 Corinthians 13 says it's a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, and we don't want to be that. We want to be a house where there is a beautiful worship of Jesus taking place when we sing songs and as we live life for Him. And then we are also called to be active. He uses that we are hands, we are feet, we are eyes, we are ears. We are supposed to be involved in doing things for the kingdom of God, and also that we are called to walk in unity. And I emphasize and stress, uniformity is easy. Unity takes work. It takes selflessness for that to be accomplished and dying to self so that we can find our role in building His church. Now, last week, we also shared the wrong way to view church. And that was through a self-focused, me-centered, desiring in what we view church for. And we saw last week an episode of Church Hunters. Y'all seem to enjoy that. So I thought this morning we would look at this young couple again, this very self-centered young couple as they look for their pursuit of a church home. And I guess I should have warned you a little bit last week. The thing about satire is sometimes it can be a little painful because there's an element of truth. We definitely don't want to be these young folks. So let's look at the video screen real quick.
Previously on Church Hunters.
This is your first church. This is Creekside First Baptist.
Honestly, right up front, didn't love the name.
The Sunday morning experience was just a little too traditional.
Hey guys, how we doing?
Hey, good.
Doing
how are
good,
you?
Doing good.
So I know you didn't love the traditional vibe of the last place, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
But I think this church is really going to do it for you.
Yeah.
It takes relevance to a whole new level. Behind me, you will see molded clay, jar art, tapestry, canvas, mosaic church.
Mm, I love
beautiful.
It.
Right? So you've heard of interdenominational.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you've heard of non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this church identifies as inter-non-denominational.
Wow.
Wow, that's perfect for us. It really is.
But here's the kicker. A lot of celebrities go here.
Yeah.
What?
Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, we love him.
Yep.
We really do.
Ben Higgins from ABC's The Bachelor.
Perfect.
Several Real Housewives.
Ooh. Wow.
And Usher even came here one time.
Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah, well, follow me. Come on.
Let's do it.
So refreshing. Honestly, that last church was just way too traditional. It was
too
much.
It was like we left there feeling convicted. Like, ugh, right?
Right. We're looking for more of a Tony Robbins type sermon.
Like inspiration, like a TED Talk with a Bible verse.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Right?
It's perfect here.
We love it.
It really is.
We love it.
Awesome. Cool. Well, you guys know a lot of contemporary pastors speak out of the Message Translation Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or this pastor speaks out of a brand new translation. It's the Tumblr Bible.
Shut
We love Tumblr,
up.
Though.
This is great.
Wow.
A lot of emojis, a lot of abbreviations.
Oh, I couldn't ask for one. And how many seats in here?
Oh, it is 6,000 altogether.
Babe, 6,000.
Wow.
I got to be in this worship band.
That's
Imagine
true.
Me up on that Jumbotron mid-guitar solo.
Do you know how many Instagram likes you get?
Oh,
my gosh. We find it hard to find a church right now because I grew up Catholic.
I grew up Baptist, so...
So, like, we drink.
Yeah, but in private. I mean, obviously, you get it.
Basically, in terms of, like, worship, I think we're looking for, like, a Jesus culture type feel.
Oh, I right. love them.
Hillsong, obviously.
Oh,
obviously,
Lead Me to the Cross?
Hillsong's great. Like a Bethel minus the spontaneous
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Just for me, I connect in worship more when the leader is attractive. Personally, I'm a Carrie Job guy.
Oh, okay. Well, she's married.
So is Christian Stanfield.
Wow.
So one of my personal favorite things about this church is the service times. Okay. There's an 8:30, a 10, a 1 o'clock, a 5:30, and even a 7 o'clock service.
Oh, there's nothing around like 2-ish?
Yeah, for us, for what we need, 2:15 is best.
Yes.
How many songs do they do during worship?
Usually 5, 5 and a half, depending on where the Spirit leads.
Wow, babe, is that a lot?
Well, if that's too much for you, they have a program here called the Worship Assist Program.
Okay.
So if you ever get tired during worship, an intern will come out and just hold your arms up. You just keep worshiping the King of Glory.
Just like that. Wow. I love it. You can still look super spiritual.
And my arms get so tired from yoga.
Same.
I actually like this church. I think we can make it work.
It was all right. I mean, it was good. But, I emailed the pastor, and he didn't immediately respond. So we're taking these vessels elsewhere.
That is definitely what we do not want to be. As we end this time, and I want to throw this out, and I'd like for if one thing can be instilled in us and stay with us, not just for now, but in the months and the weeks and the years to come, is that the call should be for all of us to be a joyous member of the kingdom of God. A joyous member of if you're a part of this local church, or if you're visiting today, you're part of another church, if you're visiting today and you'd love to be a part, we'd love to have you. But we should be joyful in our service of Jesus Christ, and joyful in our being a part of a particular church, that specifically today, Bethel Worship Center. Now, when I used to do drama, we had a great skit by a group called Hicks and Cohagen, and it was called New Christian. And what you had was you had this fellow that came out on the stage, and he had a little sign there, and it said New Christian. And then you had a bunch of Christians come by and tell him how he was supposed to act. All right? You know, there would be the one that would come by and say, you should be joyful all the time. Even if your puppy got ran over that morning before church, you're joyful, joyful, joyful all the time. You know, that kind of thing. And the character I got to play was the one who was disgruntled and burdened. I was the burdened Christian, and I would come and tell that fellow, you know, to quit jumping around, quit being so happy. You need to, you know, when I got into church, the first thing I got, the Lord blessed me with, was a burden, okay? And you should be, you know, you should have some sorrow about you in being a Christian. And so I'd tell the poor fellow there, you know, I'd say, you know, you got to get them shoulders slumped a little bit like that, you know, like you're sorry for something. And what's real fun is when you're the person doing it and the other person has to do everything you say, if I can make it go as long as I want to, you know. And, how about give me a little quiver in that lip? You know, can you squeeze out a tear? Can you squeeze out a tear? But sadly, there's a danger for that taking place in people as they serve in the kingdom of God, okay? We don't want to view our role and our purpose in the church as something of a burden, but it is a treasure and it is a gift for us to be a part of the kingdom of God. I can't. Some of you have been around me watching sporting events and of my teams and stuff like that. I would say the opposite of what I do is what you want to do in regards to church. Okay, you know, I'm the fan that as soon as the first bad thing happens, game over, we lost, I'm gone. I'm going to bed. I don't have to see this. I've seen this show before. All right, you know, you don't want to do that. We want to be joyful in our service. I mentioned earlier, David, and from Psalm 122 and 1, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to God's house. Let us go to the house of the Lord. I wonder if when your alarm clock woke up this morning, I hope that was what was in your heart. Man, I am glad I get to go to church today. I am glad I get to go worship with brothers and sisters and be a part of a team like we are here at BWC. And last week when I shared how we should view the church, I did mention, you know, that we should view it as a treasure. And I used the illustration because the Bible used the illustration of marriage. And we are the bride of Christ. And so it's a perfect thing there. And so I want to use that same kind of thought again in regards to this. You know, in my relationship with my wife, I can have a right attitude with her, you know. I'm not, you know, sometimes I'm preaching against folks who have problems with church and how God can, you know, change and move in that. But, you know, I can have a right attitude about church. I can have I can be great. I'm assuming the wife's the illustration. Okay. I can have a great attitude about her. I can have I can be grateful for her. But if I never tell her I love her, if I never take her out on a date, and if I never do anything that serves her and blesses her, then it's going to be love and word only. All right? The kingdom of God is all about love motivating us to do the actions. We don't do actions. We don't do good works. We don't do those things as a part of a religious ritual to fulfill a duty that we can check out. Check off. Those things come out of the outflow of our relationship with Jesus Christ. He has changed and transformed our lives, and so we want to see others' lives changed and transformed as well. So this morning, I ask us the same question I asked myself this week. In regards to my love for God's church, am I serving? Am I giving? This past week, I thought about just some of the things that took place. Last Sunday, I was blessed to be a part of Love, Serve, Give and watch folks serving the homeless. And it was just a very beautiful scenario to see. There were folks who were ministering not just the food and things, but they were ministering to the people as well. This past week with Vacation Bible School and all the volunteers, all those who came and helped and some very sacrificially to make a difference. And then all of the other ministries that take place here, I don't have time, but those were things I visually saw. And then I also know that there are a lot of ministries that are taking place unseen that we have no idea that you're out there doing for the kingdom of God. And you're impacting this world. You're ministering to someone who is sick. You're helping someone in need. You're reaching out to our family. That is a beautiful picture of who we are supposed to be as the body of Christ and what God has called us to be. So today, you know, I'm kind of calling for that revolution to be that joyous church member, and then to echo a phrase that Pastor Javen used a couple weeks ago, to remember that we're not fulfilling religious duty. We are a part of a movement of God that is taking place all over the globe. And men and women and boys and girls are coming to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And so we should be excited about that. Last week I gave you an illustration of a church that kind of had a mindset of us four and no more. That's not the mindset we want to have. We want to be able to reach everybody that will listen with the good news that Jesus has come to save us from our sins. Amen? All right, so if we're going to do that, here's some things that we have to choose to do, okay? And the first one here is that I choose to worship with others. I choose to come together. I choose to break off that mindset. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to be a part of a church to be a Christian. If you are a Christian, you are a part of His church. All right? He did not come to build a group of loosely organized individuals. He came to build His church, is what the Scripture says. And when I was growing up, there were jokes all the time about folks not being in church. And there was even an old Southern Baptist song, Southern Gospel, there you go, song about excuses that was out there. And the big joke was about raining. You know, if it rained, you can't go, and this, that, and the other. And it was very painful for me because that's the kind of house I grew up in. We would come up with any reason whatsoever. My uncles and aunts, man, if you spent the night at their house, you'd be guaranteed you was going to be at church. But, you know, I could get away with some stuff. Well, I don't, whatever it may be. It was an optional type mindset. And I began to think about this and think about my own life in regards to, let's say an athletic event, let's say a football game. If I have purchased tickets for a football event, and my wife comes and tells me they are calling for rain this week, then my response is going to be, well, we need to get some raincoats and some parkas. Yeah, there's not even a hint of, I'm not going to go. All right? Me? All right. Peace, love, Jesus. Okay. I get so excited, not to cord. And, you know, what if it's going to be freezing cold? Well, let's get the ski bibs down from the attic. Because, you know, we're going. And what if it's going to be sweltering heat? We got to go by the bank and get some more money because we're fixing to buy a lot of water. at that ball game. And I say that as a person who has literally sat for 3.5 hours in a tropical storm to watch a game, has sat in 9-degree weather to watch a game, and has sat in sweltering heat to watch a ball game. There was never a moment in thought that I would not be a part of that event, okay? That needs to be our mindset as a church as well, that I want to be a part of what is taking place, and I'm not going to let any little thing keep, you know, obviously we all going to take vacation. A couple weeks from now, I'll be out because I will be enjoying time with my family. I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about the optional mindset that is out there, and we want to overcome that. We want to choose to say, you know what? I am going to worship with others. The Bible gives us some references to that. Hebrews 10:25. The writer says that tells us to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together as some are in the habit of doing. And so this is a mindset that was even taking place there in the early church. In Acts 2, chapter 46 and 47, we kind of get a picture of what the early church was like. And we read this 3 weeks ago, and I'll read it again. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Okay, all right. They ate with sincere hearts, and their number was multiplied. And so we have this picture of them coming together all the time. Now, on a very practical level, when someone makes a commitment to Jesus Christ and they have a relationship with Him, they become a new Christian. I can tell you, I do speak to them, not like in the skit that I referenced earlier, but I tell them something, and it's very non-spiritual sounding. But I tell them, as I look back on my journey and how I, you know, how I am where I am today from where I was when I first came to know Jesus, I said, one of the biggest keys that I can think of is this, that I kept showing up. That doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? But when the doors were open, I kept showing up. And I look back now and I say, man, that was such a key in keeping me grounded and keeping me growing in my relationship with Jesus Christ. So I am not, and when I come, I'm not looking like those people were. Do you notice that they listed 7-8 services? You don't have anything at 2:15, you know, for us, that works for us. I'm not looking for my preference. I'm coming looking to worship God. Worship my Creator. And so there's a couple covenants that we can make each week that will help with this. And I want to keep this in my mind as well. Number one, that I will attend. And I would say this as well. On Wednesday night, we have a time of Bible study at 6:30. If you know you're going to be out for ball, you know you're going to be out for vacation, you know you're going to be out for work or whatever it may be, we have that as an option. We have some folks who work every Sunday, and this is the time where they get to come and have the Word discussed. And if it's not that, there are other small groups that you can be a part of that will help you in your growth. So I will attend. And then a second thought is, I will pray for the service during the week. I believe that would impact our worship. It would impact our Word. It would impact the ministries that we have if we thought about it during the week. So I had to ask myself the question, did I spend one moment in time thinking about this time that we're gathered today? And then a third thing is that I will pray as I enter the service, okay? That I will be praying as I come. God, we want You to move. We want You to change. We want lives changed. I want my life changed. I want my heart changed. For those of you with children, you know, you got a prayer as you're coming in, and then when you leave, you probably got another prayer. God, help me to get my mind back right for a second here so that I can hear the Word. Pray those kind of prayers for the Lord to help you in that. And then I'll pray as I enter. And then I'm not going to come to church as a judge or as a critique. All right. I grew up in that kind of tradition. I don't know how many of y'all did that. All right. I understand where that's coming from. And I remember being one time when I was on vacation. Judy and I had gone for a weekend, and we were stopping at a restaurant on the way home, and it was a Ryan's type situation. So we're sitting there, and all of a sudden the church group comes in, and we need to be very mindful when you're in restaurants when you're representing Jesus Christ as well, okay? All right? And these folks were, you know, I'm not really loud. I don't like loud. But these folks were loud. Great day. And they began talking, and I'm telling you, I knew everything that was wrong with that service this morning. Why we got to sing that song? Why we got to do? Why is that person singing that special, doing this and doing that? They think they in Hollywood. I'm telling you, I'm sitting there. We're Judy and I are just sitting there eating, singing, "Lord, have mercy. This is a rough situation." And then I saw, all of a sudden, I heard these words: "Hey, Pastor, come sit with us." And I knew the dude. Not well, but I knew who he was, and I was just thinking, oh, bless his heart, as they say in the South, okay? Bless his heart for that, all right? I remember those dinner table conversations and those type things. We're here to worship Jesus. We're here to receive from his word, and we're here also to show grace and love and mercy with one another and to one another. Okay, so we choose and we say, I will worship together. You're here today for this, so you know you are here to hear this, so you're setting the example for everybody, right? And I would like to throw this as well, just a little side note. If you miss a sermon, you know, a time this way, the messages are online. If you say, man, I hadn't been here in 2 weeks, I'd like to hear the rest of what this means. We are the church. You can go back and listen to those things so you can keep in line with what is going on, or if nothing else, it will help you sleep at night if you listen during those times. All right. So I choose to worship together, and then also I choose to grow together. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, we read that passage of scripture there where they were meeting together and growing. They were growing as individuals, and they were also growing as the body of Christ as well. And so we have areas where you can find growth. Right now is a growth time for us, hopefully, where discipleship is taking place. I mentioned Wednesday night. There's something for every age group that's taking place. Tonight, the youth are having a small group time. They're actually having a fun time together. Believe it or not, spiritual things happen when we do fun things together with one another, okay? There is discipleship that takes place. They're playing slip and slide kickball today. I thought next week we would have the adults do that, and we'll have a healing service immediately after that. And we'll go straight from the water to the oil. And the marriage group ministry, that is an opportunity for you as well to get involved with that. I challenged that a couple weeks. I challenged marriages, those of you that have been married for a long time, you have made it through the tough times. Guess what? We need you at that meeting. All right, we need you there to be an example for those of us that are younger, that are in our 20s, that are just getting going, and the other people. I need to take that back. Okay. Been married for 20 plus years. How about that? All right. And then also ministry groups. I noticed with those who were serving in the Love, Serve, Give, there are folks that are talking to one another as they are serving with one another. Okay. So they are growing together in that as well. So, the health of the church many times is tied to these type of small group type things. And what do small groups provide an opportunity for? They provide an opportunity for relationship. Really, relationship is most of the time in here. We have time for a head nod, men, you know what I'm talking about, and a handshake maybe, and those type things. I do see sometimes out in the areas folks are talking and those type of things are taking place, but it gives you an opportunity to get to know someone and to hear someone's heart more than a Sunday morning handshake. And then there's also an opportunity for ministry. There are times when we need to minister out, and there are times also when we may be the one in need of ministry. We may be the one that needs to be encouraged by someone else. Teaching takes place in this as well, whether it be discipleship type things where I'm standing in front of you talking, or a teacher is standing in front of you talking, or it could be in just a handful of guys or a handful of ladies who are talking with one another, and they're learning and gleaning from each other as they study the Word of God together. It is an ironing, sharpening iron. And then there is evangelism can take place through these type of decisions to grow together, to get involved with a small group. I have a hard time trying to invite my friend to church or invite my friend to this place. Well, if we have guys riding motorcycles, and you know your friend loves to ride motorcycles, hey, you ought to go with a ride with us. And they may see for the first time in their life that Christians are not crazy, that they're actually very loving, caring, people. Just be careful the group you go to, okay, in regards to that. So it is an opportunity for evangelism as well. And then, after we worship together, we make a decision that we're going to grow together. Then we can make a choice as well that I choose to serve together. Those of you here last week, you heard the story that I read about Heather, that she sent to a man by the name of Tom Rainer, and she was a me-focused church person, and she was miserable. If you remember that story, she was miserable, and she was trying to find a new church, and I shared with you the story of how she gave the list to the pastor and his wife of what all was wrong with the church, and so the pastor's wife challenged her and said, you know, how about instead of looking at all the flaws and looking what is wrong, how about you make a decision? I'm going to choose to serve the church. I'm going to choose to attempt to bless the church. And so she began to have a new experience at this new church. She stopped looking at flaws and she began looking at Jesus. And things began to take place in her life. And she was trying to explain to Rainer what was taking place in her life from before to now. And she said that she was amazed in the difference in her new church. And she said before it was kind of like when all you're about is getting your needs met. Then it was like eating dessert all the time. Anybody ever done that for a while? You ate ice cream for dinner or whatever. That lasts for a little while, but ultimately, guess what? You're going to get sick if you eat just that food. Ultimately, you need real food at some moment in time to give you the nutrients and the things that you need in our lives, in your lives. And she said, I was sick of being a self-serving person. And now that I seek to serve, I am energized and revived because her heart is, and it goes back to Hebrews, his focus is now on Jesus. And it is there that he is able to use great things in our lives. There's a great story in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 through 28. Matthew chapter 20, and you can look at that. And this is the time of, I told him Wednesday night we'd be talking about this particular story. And this is where the mama of James and John come, and of Zebedee's sons, they come. Her mama comes and she wants to ask a favor of Jesus, and she wants him to place them, if you're familiar with the story, when he comes into his kingdom, at his right hand and his left hand. So we have literally a mama's boy's story here. And so I told him Wednesday, I said, I can't help but reflect on those two boys like that. What were they thinking? Is the head down a little bit? Oh, man, mama's doing it again. And I told them a story Wednesday that I may have shared with you before, but I remember playing for the Millbrook Elementary Bulldogs, and we were waiting for our game, and another boy and I got into it, and he was wearing me out. And my mother came and yanked that boy off of me, and I fussed at her. I was embarrassed that mama had come. And to this day, she'll say, son, he was whipping you good. What was I supposed to do there? Let me take my whooping down, mama. All right. So this is kind of, it's kind of the head down thing. But anyway, she comes to him and she wants him to sit on the right and left side. Because once again, even the disciples have this kind of mindset as well. Ultimately, we see the miracles Jesus doing. We know he's the Messiah. So eventually, we're going to be kicking out the Pharisees. We're going to be kicking out the Romans. And we're going to be in charge. And we're going to be just like them. And Jesus began to address them Matthew chapter 20 and beginning in verse 25. And Jesus called them over. He called them together. This is kind of like a little timeout moment. And he said, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. That's what they were hoping to do. They wanted to be the boss. And he said that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. And then Jesus turns their world upside down and he said, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Who wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus sets the standard here of what it is to die to self, because he died for us on the cross. In Philippians chapter 2, in verses 5 through 11, we see this beautiful declaration. It says that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, and to death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every under heaven and earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is our example of what a servant's heart is all about and what we are to be all about. And if Jesus were speaking to us today, if we were those disciples battling for position, battling for some sort of place, and you may have seen those type things take place within a church structure before. That is not kingdom oriented. That is secular oriented. That is man oriented, okay? Or woman oriented as well. It is not focused on the kingdom of God. Jesus would say to us, "Listen, I know the culture says to put yourself first. I know that you are supposed to be number one. But the Word of God speaks to us today that we are called to die to self." We die to self. And what happens when we die to self is at that moment in time, we truly live. We thought we were living before, but all of those things we were doing always came up empty. Or they came up incomplete. Or they satisfied for a while, but they did not fill the longing of our hearts. So it is when we die to self and live for Jesus that we truly find what that life and life more abundant is all about, in serving Him. So we want to have a serving revolution. I'm going to read to you a quote, and I have the end of this quote in the notes, not all of it. Because I just couldn't type that much. My hands were getting tired. Woe is me. That's just pitiful, isn't it? But this particular lady said, "Tom, I've never been more joyful to be a church member. I don't have to worry about getting my way. My mission is to serve others, and it's much more fun than being served. I still pray every day for my attitude, and I pray for specific people in church every day, and that has changed my attitude incredibly. I have also made certain I do something of service in the church at least 1 hour a week. I volunteer for nursery duty once a month at the church. And then I committed to the shut-in ministry to visit at least 3 persons a month." And this is what she said, and I believe I have these notes typed. She said, "I have truly learned in action what Jesus meant when he said we would be first if we put ourselves last. I am last in the sense that I serve others before me, but I am first in the sense that I have incredible joy coming directly from Jesus. I wish I had made this effort years ago, and I have truly learned how to experience the joy of Christ by serving." Now, I know we have this in here. I pray we do, that we have this mindset that we are not here for self. We are here to serve. And so if you're saying, you know, what can I do? There are all kind of ministries, whether it be frontline or ushering or mentoring. You can serve the youth. You can serve the children's ministry. You can serve in men, women, outreach, celebrate recovery, grief, nursery. There are all kinds. And there are ministries yet to be birthed in this house. I believe that. In Jesus' name, there are ministries that you are doing not just as a part of the church, but you do in your home, or you do in your own personal life, that you are making an impact for the kingdom of God. But it all comes back to having that mindset that I will choose to serve one another. I'll choose to serve together. The fourth thing here is that we choose to go together. Now, in middle school, that meant something else, right? Even when I typed it. We go together. Okay, all right. No, we are to be a going church. It is in our DNA from the very beginning. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, "But you will receive." What does he say we will receive? power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That could be Kershaw County. It could be Judea. That could be the Midlands. It could be Samaria. That could be the United States. And then the ends of the earth. We are called to be a going church, and we proclaim we are a going church. A going church and a sending church. We have a youth ministry trip coming up. I think there's close to 35 to 40 people that are be going out of this house into Florida and ministering to them because they really need it bad down there. No, they're going to be going and ministering there. We have folks. We go to Dominican. And here's the thing that over the past 25 years of us being a going and sending church, every year there is a group of college. This year we got two college age students that are Daytona Beach ministering. We have folks that are going on overseas mission trips. My son just got back from Nicaragua and he's not feeling too well. So y'all lift him up in prayer that God will break that little virus off of him. But they went with their team, and there are and not only that, out of the sending church mindset, every Sunday morning when I look at the social media before we're coming in here together, I see so many of the kids that were raised up in this church that are involved in churches in different areas and different places, and they're doing children's ministries, they're doing music ministry, they're doing all of these kind of things, and so there is a very self part of me that would say, man, I'd love to have them all here. But I die to that and say, God, thank you for where you placed them. And may you continue to make us a house that grows disciples that will go out into this world and share the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And when we do this, we are fulfilling the mission of Jesus. And Luke 19:10, where he said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that is still our mission code today. There are folks that are lost, and we want to go reach them with the love of Jesus. And so there are things that, sometimes we feel like we can't do that. We say, it's not my gift. You may say, I'm not a pastor. Only pastors can do that. Please understand, my profession does not have a great respectability. I've shared with you, it's right there with lawyers and prostitutes as far as the list. Yes, it's down that low. So many times I'm a problem, okay? And I shared with you before, all those Sunday morning conversations and stuff like that. I fought the ministry for a long time because of that. Looking back on it, because I knew how those men and women were talked about. That's why I may be one of the few preachers with an associate's in business administration who's taking accounting courses and also taking nuclear reactor component systems. Because I was going to be a nuclear man at the bomb plant. Okay, all right. You say, I don't have time. I don't want to impose. I'm an introvert. I want you to know that God can break all of those things off of our minds and off of our hearts. And we can be His witness in this world. And I want to share with you a very large scale picture for us that excited me so much this week. Christianity Today has a series of articles about what God is doing in Cambodia. Those of you that have any memory of Cambodia, you remember Pol Pot, who was an atheist dictator just like Mao, just like Hitler, just like Stalin. So when your teachers tell you religion causes all the war, you might want to go look at the 20th century and see what atheists have done to this world. All right? And so Pol Pot, y'all remember the killing fields and massacring his own people, just horrible, terrible things. And then after that, a communist regime that by the name of, Khmer Rouge, they had a revolution. There in Cambodia, the Buddhist temple is, that is where all religious things take place. And so to be a Christian is a place of great persecution. I read a story of one church. There was a church that had grown to about 600 people. This was would have been in the 70s and 80s. And when the communist revolution took place, they went to hide. And they said, the ones who were, if you survive, come and write your name on the church so that we'll know that everybody's okay. Still okay. There are only three names listed on that church. So there was an extermination, similar to what we're seeing in the Middle East today of believers in Jesus Christ. But all of a sudden, God began to move on people's hearts in the 1990s and in the 2000s. And folks began to go into situations that seemed impossible. They didn't go stand on a street corner and preach, but they started kids' clubs, started computer classes. These are not pastors. These are folks that God burdened. They began to start English classes. A ministry called Asia Hope was very important in this. And they began to show the love of Jesus. And then they were able to share the love of Jesus. And now in that nation, this may not seem like a big deal, but now there is a revival that is taking place. All right? And there are 2.5 million believers now in Buddhist Cambodia. Since that time period that is taking place, they're all young because everybody's young. They don't live past 30, 40, 50 years of age in those nations. And there is a great growth. And there's a Christian Ministry Alliance. And not only that, they're seeing miracles. They're seeing healings that are taking place. There's an organization called Mission Kampucha 2021. That's not that far off, is it? Their desire is to make sure that every village has a church planted in it by 2021. And you're armed with all these young pastors who now, thanks to the technology, I know we talk about it a lot, but they are loaded with phones, with Bibles and everything else, and they are able to go out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. This is a very amazing thing. And not only that, y'all know the stories probably as well, the Cambodian sex trafficking that took place. There's still a lot of prostitution. There's still a lot of folks from the Western world and the Chinese world that go to that place to basically, I would say, rape and pillage is what they do. But the child part of it has been directly, it's almost been impacted to where it's not taking place. And that's been because of ministries like Agape International Mission and International Justice Mission. Those are lawyers who have given their lives to go and fight battles for these children, to go and fight battles in court systems, to make a difference in them, and to try to stop the pimps and the pedophiles from, because the law says they can set free. And so what they're doing is, one of the problems that lead folks into this is they don't have any work. They provide a place for them to work. They don't have any housing. They provide a place for them to be housed. They don't have a way to have education. They provide a way for them to have education. And so as I read this story, what I see is a beautiful picture of a church that goes from one place to a place where there is such peril and such despair, and people share the good news and the love of Jesus Christ. Young people go and they give their years to minister to these folks. And what we are seeing now is a birthing of a revival of folks who have a passion for the Lord. And they're going to go out. And not only that, I believe there's going to be a day when Cambodia is going to have missionaries sending out to other places in the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. And here's the deal. There was one story I read where they said 85 trafficked child brides had been rescued from China. We could look at that and say, you're talking about 16 million people. At one time, there was just a couple of hundred believers. How did this happen? Guess what happened? It happened one changed life at a time. We always want to see the big picture. But please note, it is one changed life at a time. May God help us to see that we can be a part of the one changed life at a time that will multiply and impact this world for Jesus Christ. Amen? And then lastly, we make a decision that we'll go together and that we will give together. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. We can read this scripture real quick. It says, "Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Anybody ever faced the plague of moth and vermin in your attic before? All right, that's not good. And verse 21 gives us a picture. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is this thing doing? What is this whole teaching doing? It's helping us to have a mindset that goes beyond the now. That we need to have an eternal mindset. Okay? And as being a joyous Christian, I want to be a faithful tither. I want to be a faithful giver. But I don't ever want it to be out of obligation. I don't ever want it to be out of duty. I want it to be out of the love for the Lord, for His church, and for His kingdom. And in the end, money, you can go and read 2 Corinthians 9 later, verse 6 through 7. It is an issue of lordship in our life. Now, those are five things that we can covenant to do together, and I believe God will use us to be a part of a great harvest in this community as well, in our Jerusalem as well as the world. But there's a danger in a couple of ways, especially if we've been serving the Lord for a long time. There's a danger of becoming a dropout. Tom Rainer uses two terms. He said there are those that are nuns and are duns. I've heard of the nuns before. Not N-U-N, okay? N-O-N-E-S. I'm not involved in anything, you know. And once again, the church is not is a part of it. You also, in your personal life, you want there to be all of those things taking place in your home. Next week's Father's Day. Dad, I want to, as a man, you say you want to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Your greatest impact will be right there with those folks that are there in that home with you. Okay? That will be your great harvest field in that. And then there are the duns. Those that are not involved are done being involved. In traditional church, sometimes you will hear a term that says, I done my turn already. That's the southern version of it. Okay? Or we would say, I done my term already. And we don't want to have that mindset. There is also ministry burnout. And here's what can happen. Sometimes we can get disillusioned when we discover that folks aren't perfect. All right? We can get discouraged by that when we see that. But we may need to look within and say, you know what? Guess what? I may not be perfect as well. So how about we be a house and people and a church throughout the world full of grace and mercy with one another. And so the message is that we cannot retire until we retire. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 talks about us doing, it says, how have we been saved, church? We have been saved by grace through faith, right? Was it of ourselves? No, it is the gift of God. All right? And it's not by works. So anyone can boast. All right? What we do, our actions that God does in us and through us, it is not of us. It is through all the praise and glory that goes to Jesus. But the Word says that we are God's handiwork. We're His masterpiece. We are His beautiful tapestry we read when we studied Ephesians. And we have been created in Christ Jesus. What's going to come out of us? Good works are going to come out of us that He has prepared in advance for us to do. So if we fall into that trap of being a nun or a dun, what do we do here? If there's any kind of things that have been stirred in our hearts and our lives, we've got a young man. We're blessed to have Austin Kenny back in church with us here this morning. God is doing a healing and powerful work in his life. And God has preserved his life as well. And so we thank God for that. And we know that God has plans and purpose for that preservation as well. But I asked Austin Zarek to share part of his therapy in getting back was not just the action of learning to walk again and walking again, but they actually, with the muscles and with I'm very medically knowledge, so I'll stop right there. Muscles, bones, joints, whatever. They were literally having to do things to wake those muscles back up again, to stimulate those muscles back up again. Because they had not been used for a while for him to be able to come to a complete place where he's going to be able to walk, he's going to be able to run, he's going to be able to do all the things that he was doing before. We believe that in Jesus' name. And it was, why was that? It was because there had been atrophy for all the time laying down in the hospital. Well, it can be the same way for us if we're not careful. We can fall into a place of spiritual atrophy. And guess what, though? If we fall into that place, we've got the power of the Word of God. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit. And those things can energize us once again. They can stir and they can get that heart to start beating again as it once did. They can use those hands to get them going. They can use those eyes and ears and whatever part and role we may play as a part of the body of Christ. And God can use us to impact this world. I believe that. This world with the love of Jesus Christ. And I believe He is doing that. Let's stand together. In Jesus' name. With your head bowed and with your eyes closed, I want to give us kind of a marching moment and a marching time. Father, I thank you for every challenge. I thank you for every stirring out of your word today. And Lord, I want to look within. And I want to say, God, is it a passion in me to worship you and to worship with others? God, is it a passion in me to serve others? Am I willing to die to self? Is it a passion in me to grow together? Is it a passion in me for us to go together? And is it a passion for me? Is giving just second nature because I understand that this life is just for the now, but there's an eternity that I will spend with you. Thank you. Thank you, glory to God. Thank you, glory to God. And as we stand here today as your people in your church, I ask God that you would stir something in our hearts and in our lives. Stir afresh with every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. Just for a moment, you say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. Spiritually, there may be a little bit of atrophy in me and I want God to awaken that this morning. Raise your hand if that's you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Stir today, Lord God. Stir by your word. Stir by encouragement. Stir, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit and stir by the love of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for what's taking place in Cambodia, for this very beginning of revival that's taking place and what we're seeing and the multiplication that's taking place. But help us to be mindful that it began with one soul ministering to another soul, who ministered to another soul. And may we remember that commission that you have given us to go into all the world. May we remember that you came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so today, God, I pray, Lord, for those that are lost in our community, those that are lost in this world, that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I pray for us, Lord. I pray for areas in our life where we have allowed atrophy to come because we haven't used some of our spiritual muscles, God. May you awaken those things today by the power of the Holy Spirit. May you awaken things anew in us. Maybe we've been discouraged. Maybe we've been let down. Maybe we let down others. Whatever it may be, God, may you awaken and stir within us once again that zeal and that fire and that passion, Lord. May that first love burn within us as we recognize that we are in Christ, we belong to you, and in belonging to you, we have a great calling to go and be your church and to demonstrate your love to others. And I pray for any today, Lord. Those that raise their hands, stir in that place today, Lord. Stir throughout this week. Stir going into next weekend, God. And may you awaken something new in us, Lord. We said earlier in the message that there are ministries still to be birthed out of this house, God. We speak it prophetically today, God, that there are still ministries, Lord, in the now and in the years to come that will be birthed, that will impact this world with the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for every soul that is in here today. And I ask your abundant blessing, your abundant provision, your abundant love and your grace and your mercy to flow over them. And send us out of here, Lord, as your loving army going forward and proclaiming and demonstrating the good news and the good works of Jesus Christ. We're in love with you and we're in awe of you. And we thank you for your presence with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Worship Center. We pray that something in the message helped you with where you are in your journey right now. If you have any questions or would like to know more about having your life transformed by Christ, we'd love to talk to you. You can find all the ways to contact us on our website, the simplest of which is to email us at bwc@bwccamden.com. If you have a story of transformation, we'd love to hear it. Please email us and share your story. Thank you again for listening, and we pray you are being transformed by God's grace and being a catalyst for transformation in your community.